Blog Talk Radio.
What's the topic? We'll never run out of options. Fatherhood to justice, O'Shea and Mark drop the knowledge. These are times where we try for a peace of mind, organize and then reignite with these words from the other side.
We're two good brothers, unpacked. Meaningful conversations centered in solutions that transmute the systemic energy of being black in America, where each episode is packed with inspirational messages and thought-provoking special guests. Come join us on the other side.
You're listening to E-Water Radio, KEWRDB.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of E-Water Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of E-Water Radio, KEWRDB, or its affiliates.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome back to On the Other Side. And we're very excited about this broadcast. But not that we're not excited about all our broadcasts, brother, but we're excited about this because this marks our 1 year in the podcast Black Talk Radio atmosphere, brother. That's exciting,
yes.
Right? Is my partner in knowledge with me on this?
Indeed, I am with you, brother. I want to say just congrats, man, to us for, moving through this energy, man. And, man, it's been a beautiful journey and all the wonderful people that showed us a lot of love, man. This is good stuff, brother.
It's beautiful stuff. And we're going to talk about, the things that have been happening with the show over the past year, brother. We're very excited. We have a special guest. You have heard her voice before, so we're going to introduce her in a moment. But as always, we first like just to take a moment and recognize and hold space for our brothers and sisters. So the first one we want to recognize and hold space for is a brother by the name of Jamarian Robinson. He was a brother that was shot and killed 5 years ago. 5 years ago, brother, he was shot 76 times.
Mm.
Now, think about that. 76 times. There were hundreds of shots fired at him.
Mm-hmm.
And 76 of those bullets hit him. And it's taken his mother, Montario Robinson, and a group of dedicated activists 5 years, brother. But it has paid off because two indictments were handed down for an officer by the name of Eric Hines and Christopher Hutchins out in East Point, Georgia. They have indicted these two police officers on a myriad of charges, including murder. So we just want to hold space. We want to continue to keep our eye on this this ongoing happenings of this case as it moves into the trial stage. And we just want to take a moment to say that activism, protests, and holding people accountable, it works.
Mm-hmm. Yes, brother. Yes, it works so much. Thank you, brother. Yes, Jamarian Robinson, man. He was a student at Tuskegee University. And just for the listeners to know, this happened in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was on August 5th, 2016. So, man, we give thanks for, everything coming full circle for his family and for the community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And his mother just celebrated her birthday, and and God gave her a wonderful gift because these indictments came down, I think, a day or so after her birthday. So we want to recognize that. We also want to hold space in our hearts for Snoop Dogg. His mother, Beverly Tate, passed away recently. Shortly after the brothers celebrated his 50th birthday, his mother, Beverly Tate, passed away. She was 70. And if you look at his Instagram page, you can see that the brother had a very close relationship with his mother because he's the last 10 or 12 posts have all been all about his mother, just recognizing what she meant in his life And that's a heavy loss. I'm very close to my mother, so I felt that loss. So, you know, and he has two brothers, and I have two brothers. So it was just a moment of reflection for me, and I'm sure a lot of other brothers out there who have lost their mother or a mother who is getting up there in age. And so we just want to hold space for our brother and his family and friends.
Yes.
And lastly, we just want to recognize the life and activism of General Jeff Page, as he was called, a hip-hop legend, but also he was a skid row activist. He fought for, you know, the homeless and those brothers and sisters out there to have proper housing, and he did that for years. And so he recently passed, and we just want to recognize our brother, General Jeff Page. Apparently, brother, I just learned about him, but apparently he was a hip-hop legend out here in California, so I was inspired by his story.
Absolutely, man. A pioneer, man, on so many fronts, man, and we just give thanks for him. He will always be on the front line whenever it was a cause to, you know, assist the homeless, to liberate the people in any way that he can, man. We've seen him show up countless hours. He would be the first one to show up and the last one to leave, man. A true giant, man. You know, and I know you're familiar with Rodney O and Joe Cooley, right? You know, they are West Coast legends, man. So General Jeff is from that camp. So we just give thanks, man, for his contribution and his work. Do not go in vain, because he had plenty of students that's continuing to carry on his legacy. So we give thanks.
Absolutely, brother. So we just want to continue to everyone we mentioned, hold space in our heart and our mind, and know that the struggle continues. Freedom, justice, and equality for our brothers, Jamarian Robinson and his family. And with that, we're going to introduce the one and only Thea Monnier, who will be holding court. She is doing a takeover
on
the other side.
I think everybody knew we were coming to this. I think the writing was on the wall. I finally, my plot has succeeded. I have finally taken over on the other side.
Yeah.
So that I can celebrate with two of my favorite brothers in the world. This amazing accomplishment. You know, when Mark said that it was a year, I was like, wait, we got to pause. Because if you don't know, in like the podcasting, you know, talk radio community, a year is a big deal. Average podcast doesn't make it past 5 episodes because it's one of those labors of love that you created because you really believe you have something to say. But often, you know, artists, if we don't feel heard or if things aren't, you know, reciprocated quickly, we can fall off.
Yeah.
And the fact that you all persevered and kept consistent topics that are relevant to this critical time for a year is truly, truly, truly a huge accomplishment. And Black folks, we don't sit in our accomplishments alone. We just be like, oh, you know how we do. But I'm going to sit with y'all for a whole hour and just celebrate and talk up how amazing this is. And especially because we may have listeners who they have something to say too. And, you know, maybe they think in a podcast, maybe they think in a radio show. You never know. So it's important that, you know, you all are treated today as successful podcasters and held in that way. So I get to interview you to make sure that I'm asking you the things that people out there listening want to know about you and about on the other side.
Yes.
Well, we are excited, Ed. We
are you ready?
We know we're in for a host.
No turning back.
So yes.
No turning
back.
I'm smiling from ear to ear. Well, I'm smiling, Thea, just to have you in the midst in this energy.
You know what I'm
yes.
Mark is the one that'd be like, what's she up to? But O'Shea, you know, he lets me vibe out. You know, this is a good balance for me. So, okay, my first question, and I think, I mean, I'm sure that this was talked about on the very first episode, of course, but I want to, intention is important to the work that we do, right? And so let's revisit what your intention was when you two came together for this podcast. And a year later, how do you feel you're doing with that intention?
That's a beautiful question. Brother, if you don't mind, I'll take a stab at it first, and then you can veggie back.
Yes,
veggie
brother,
back,
yes.
So, in having this discussion about the inception of this, we cannot leave out of the conversation our brother Jasir Franklin. He's a brother that we were three brothers sitting down, and we were just having a brother moment, right? We were just talking about, you know, wanting to put some more positive masculine energy in this in the space that we live, in the space that our friends live. And so we started having a conversation about what we want to do, and we talked about a few things, and some names came up, and how we were going to put it all together. And we settled on this name on the other side because we were in the midst, and we still are in the midst of this huge moment, right, this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that we were not going to get caught up in the moment. We were going to project past the moment and look what it looked like on the other side of this moment. And so from that, you know, we started to the podcast and then the Blog Talk Radio came into our life by a wonderful gentleman by the name of Ed Waters. He has this platform, and we were introduced to this platform, and it was a natural marriage for us because it really fit what we wanted to do. And so we got going, and, you know, here we are a year later. And I'm very happy at, you know, what we've done. I'm very happy at the discussions that we had, that we've been having on this platform, because I believe we have stuck to the vision of what we wanted, what we originally wanted to do. And so I am excited that we're at this moment right now, because you're right. You know, we're 14 episodes. Well, actually, we're 13 episodes past that 5-episode mark. So we are moving and grooving. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's
good.
So I guess for me to, you know, echo all of what Mark said, and I would add on to, you know, a space for men to be vulnerable publicly. You know, oftentimes you think of when men are having conversations, you know, they pretty much suffer in silence, whether they're having it with themselves or if they are having it with other brothers, you know, the public don't get a sneak peek at that. So, you know, we wanted to come together and have a show centered in vulnerability, accountability, and the sensibilities to the systemic energies that's plaguing, you know, the ebony man and woman, right? And with that being said, it just sprinkles or trickled down or through the ebony community with all the topics that goes along with it. So for me, it has been very, very freeing, right? It's been a stretch that I've been able to do publicly, because, like I'm saying, you know, Mark and his work as an author, me and my work as an author, usually we don't get a chance to have these types of conversations. And I'm glad he brought up our good brother Jasir, because, you know, from the get-go, he's still with us on the other side. He's still doing so many amazing things. But this whole conception was formed because three brothers came together and wanted to share the conversations we have in private with the world.
Yes. No, I love the piece about what I think has been a consistent theme in your episodes and in your work over the last year is permission to be vulnerable. And it's targeting men, of course, but in just that intention, it's allowed all listeners to tap into what's on the other side of fear, what's on the other side of, you know, feeling like you have to be armored or protecting yourself all the time. And I think that's been consistent partly because that's what you all model in your hosting. You know, the way that you engage guests, the way that you ask questions really does offer permission for folks to come on and be vulnerable, but also folks listening to be vulnerable. So I think you've been very successful in that. And that's
Thank you.
Because I'm there.
It is. She is a licensed marriage family therapist. I do. I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to Tammy Reese, who has a show on this platform as well. She introduced me to Ed Waters, and because she, I've known Tammy for a while, and she said, "Hey, you know what? I really like the work that you're doing out here, and I really think it'd be great on this platform." And so she introduced me to Ed Waters, and you know, I talked to O'Shea, and you know, he agreed that this would be it'd be great to as a home for On the Other Side.
Indeed. So let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Thea. I was just going to add on to Mark and say, and then, you know, the home for On the Other Side. It's like wherever we are in the world, you know, On the Other Side is first, you know, you go there with your mind, you know, because you have to go to a place that you can imagine where it's, you know, like Zoom, the Commodores talk about it, you know, talk about that special place that, you know, it's no killing, it's no this, it's no that. And you could go there mentally. So On the Other Side is somewhere you could go mentally, and then you can go physically and spiritually as well. So we've gone mentally and we've gone spiritually. Now we just got to get there physically.
Yes, and then you can go to then you can go to Apple Podcasts or eWater Radio, and you can hit the share button on and and be on the other side there and share it with family and friends. Because I think, if, you know, people have benefited from this and their whole community can. You know, I love to see people sharing work like this. So I have here's my next question. I have a lot of questions, as you can imagine. I've been waiting for this moment for quite some time. I'm not going to squander it. So what has surprised you most about the impact of the show on others, but then also what has surprised you most about what you learned from about yourself? Because sustaining this kind of show for a year in the midst of what we're going through, you know, that has some lessons for the person providing that message as well. So, you know, what have you learned about yourself? And then what have you learned about your ability to impact others?
Okay, well, I guess I'll jump in there first. So what I've learned about, you know, others is interesting. You know, I'll be somewhere I could be at a restaurant or something, and then, you know, one time we were having dinner, and then, you know, something happened where it was like, "Oh, Shay," and On the Other Side, and we were talking about it, and then our waiter was like, "What? That's y'all, Mark and O'Shea?" It blew me away. Like, and then he just started giving me feedback, like, "Oh man, you brothers be going in and this, that, and the other," and it just I never would have thought in 100 years that you know, I would have had that intersection with On the Other Side and out in the public by just speaking about it. Another thing what I learned about myself is, you know, oftentimes when I, you know, sit down or if I revisit an episode and I say, "Oh, all right, I'm just going to start, you know, I'm going to listen to 5 minutes of it." Every time I do that, I find myself listening to the whole episode.
There's no good place to stop.
So them are two things that you know, about other people and of course about myself, and it's just been a wonderful journey. And this has been the first podcast that I've done with a brother. The other podcast I do with my wife Melanie Luja, and then just to have this one with Brother Mark, wow, man, I just couldn't be happier.
That's so good. You know, for me,
Mark, what about
it's
you?
Been, yes, absolutely. For me, it's been, you know, I find it so interesting that, you know, we pass people on the streets every day, so many people, right? And we only sometimes, you know, we give them maybe the black nod, or we may say hello, but we really don't really get to go behind the door of who people are. And doing this podcast has given me the opportunity to really open the door to, you know, people's lives who have very interesting lives, very engaging lives, very inspiring lives. And it's just really taught me that you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't look at a person and then say that is the sum total of what I see, because there's so many levels. It's so much depth that is contained in the in each person's life, right? And this show has given me the opportunity to still take a sneak peek behind the veil, behind the door of so many lives. And it's taught me, I guess it's taught me to be appreciative of moments, to be appreciative of really having the opportunity to have a real conversation with someone. Right, because in that conversation, there's connection. And then when there's connection, there's bridges that can be built, right? Yeah. Because I now don't see this person as someone who's distant, someone who may be a threat to me, or someone who I just don't know, right? So it's taught me that if I take a moment to sit down with someone and have a real conversation, I am going to inevitably, I will bridge a bridge. That's what it's brought to me.
Yeah, yeah. I love that when you set out with the right intention, right, which normally when we're doing that, it's about we want to impact others. But the beauty in that is there's no way to positively impact others without positively impacting yourself, which is why I wanted to, show that to the people listening, that anything you walk out here and set out to do and then stick to the way you all have for a year, inevitably blesses you. You don't even have to think about it or calculate it. That's balance. That's the law. That's the law. So that's what will happen. I think that all of that is reflected in like the sustainability of your podcast. Like if you weren't seeing impact, if you weren't, benefiting or feeling that yourself, it will be hard to continue. So how have you measured your success through this last year, and has that been challenging? Because the first year of podcast can be interesting. Every person who's done three podcasts, it can be really interesting. And sometimes the way the world measures our success is very different than the metric that we have to come up with for ourselves. So, what have been some of the challenges or some of the ways you've had to kind of define success for yourself in this year? I'm coming with the real questions.
Thea, you are coming with this therapist question. No, but this is really, really good, Thea.
I thought I was going to get a question like, Wesley, what was your favorite all time? But no, this is a deep question. We're going into the water. See, this is what happens when you go to Egypt. My wife just went to Egypt and jumped in the Red Sea. So she won't let anyone not go into the depths.
She won't let no one go.
She's taking you there.
Right.
Well, I had a conversation
with you, O'Shea, your wife Melanie, and Thea, because my metrics is like, how are the numbers popping, right? And I'm looking at the numbers, early on and then midway, and I'm like, people aren't really responding, not responding. I mean, the numbers have definitely grown, right? Because we've taken our podcast and off the Blog Talk Radio. Once we finish, we move it to the podcast world. It's on Apple, it's on Spotify, and a few other platforms. And our downloads are really growing. We're approaching 1,000 downloads. And so those numbers are there. But for me, I had to really move away from looking at the numbers and really think about the impact in terms of the content that we're putting out there. Yeah. Right? Because I could never know, and your wife Melanie said this, and you amplified it, O'Shea, I could never know the impact and who's going to receive this message. Like, I wasn't there when you were at that dinner and that brother had that conversation. I had no knowledge of it, right? And so if I'm thinking only just strict numerical, just empirical data, then I lose the opportunity to know that me putting this out there in the atmosphere, it's on Apple, it's on Spotify. People are looking for opportunities to really get some intelligent conversation or to talk. You know, we have, I think, listed under social justice. If they want to get a podcast under social justice and things of that nature, mm-hmm. and they stumble upon our podcast, the impact they're going to get, because we really do try and really foster a conversation that will really help people to stop and think. We say our monogram is, you know, we try to create an atmosphere of healing, laughter, and intelligent conversation. And I think you cannot come into our space and not experience all three of those things. And so for me, mm-hmm. I have grown to just be at peace with the fact that I am putting out there with my brother, we're putting out there that sort of content.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, mm-hmm. man. That's a very mm-hmm. good thing, Mark. Because I was, mm-hmm. you know, in our earlier podcasting, you know, episodes when we first were getting started. Like I spoke to you about mm-hmm. this. I've always divorced myself from the results. You know, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. I don't look at the shot clock. I don't look at the game mm-hmm. clock. I just go, and it's like, okay, this is what we're supposed to be doing, and then I'm just all in. And one of the reasons why I do that is because I know that cosmically it takes 9 months to actually give birth, right? Approximately mm-hmm. 9 months. So I knew that I would have to pass the 9-month mark before I even look. Mark, no pun intended, but I have to pass the nine month mark until I can actually kind of just see kind of what's happening. And once we pass the 9-month mark, you know, it's interesting because, you know, that leads us into this year, 2021. Mm-hmm. And this is actually the second year, according to Chinese astrology, it's the year of the ox. And in the year of the ox, it's you're supposed to take it slow and steady and do not be results driven. So it was right in alignment with what I was already vibrating on. And then I knew that it will become its own entity after that 9-month part, and that's what it did. So it became its own mm-hmm. entity, and now it has legs, and now it has, you know, it's moving, it's starting to walk, you know, it's bumping into a few things, but it's getting its bearings about itself. And it's so beautiful now that only thing we have to do is continue to feed it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Cultivate it, nourish mm-hmm. it, and it will grow mm-hmm. and do whatever it's supposed to do. And I don't want to get in the way of that whatever it's supposed to do.
Yeah, you have to decolonize it. Yeah,
you're right there, and that's mm-hmm. something that is a practice that I has taken me some time to settle into. My wife, she knows this about me, right? We have.
Oh, I was just itching. That's why you jumped in before me. I understand what's going on here. Even when I'm hosting, he's trying to cut me off at the pad. You see that? He knew it was coming.
Yeah,
I think he was feeling. He was like, "He's ever out myself. I don't have any ammunition."
This is what a smart person would do. They would get in front of the news. So I would get in front of this conversation. I have struggled with that. I've struggled with just having patience and letting things sort of nestle within itself and then unfold and what it's going to be. And so I've had issues with that, man, because
In general,
yeah. I have issues
not just
with that. So I,
that.
So that's part of my, that's part of
this
the
is
thing
part of
I
vulnerability.
Say. That's,
I'm a good host.
That's
I'm
part of my vulnerability. That's
part.
Part of my de-radicalizing that I'm going through. De-radicalizing that part of my masculinity. I have to mm-hmm. sit and don't think that things have to come quick. But we are really, yeah. you know, captured in a society where things have to be fast. They have to be on a timeline. There's benchmarks, and we have to hit each mark really fast, right, and on time, mm-hmm. and really just the ideal and just becoming settled, right? Just and mm-hmm. I tell you, one of the things that's really helped me is, you know, with the pandemic, and we decided that we were going to plant things, and I eventually got into just being out in our backyard and really looking at how nature unfolds itself. And
yeah.
it doesn't happen mm-hmm. overnight, right? The
right.
things mm-hmm. go on the ground as a gestation period, and then the sun, and then the plant rises towards the sun. And so, but that takes time. That's not overnight. We see it on video. We mm-hmm. can speed it up. we can put it in fast motion to see it happening fast, but it doesn't happen fast. And so with this podcast, you know, it's given me an opportunity to really, you know, just start to understand that, you know, I have to just relax. And in relaxing, you know, it's become more fun to me. Really, it has, right? When I stop worrying about how many people are listening to it versus, you know, this entity that I'm helping to grow, it's become much more of a joy to me. And so I'm enjoying it a lot more because of that. Now, you ain't got nothing to say about me, not there.
Yeah, I do. I'm kidding. No, I think that you both reference nature. And so, you know, decolonizing this is understanding that we own nothing.
Yeah.
We are at best stewards. And at best you're a good steward, and at worst you're a bad steward. But the myth that you can own anything just causes so much confusion, stress, right? And so somebody told me the other day, the Rio Grande, that there's parts of U.S. and Mexico own. I said, they don't own Rio Grande. Is that even Rio Grande? Right? Like,
who
does that? Who just makes up that I own? Right. Who did you ask? The maker of the river for permission?
Right.
It's so ridiculous, right? Whole,
did you make a
so
land deal
best,
with the water?
Who did you ask? Right? So there's so many questions there, but that is whiteness, right?
Yeah,
the idea that because
right.
I see it and I want it, it's mine and I own it. It has no agency or purpose outside of me. And so that's what we do to the things we create, because that's the society that we live in. And
yes.
we begin to put this metric on it that measures it according to this white standard. When we know that the truth is, why would you do anything that you're not enjoying? The process is something that is so beautiful that by the time the outcome shows up, it is actually a byproduct of the process, right? So if I'm putting joy into the process and I'm enjoying it, the sweeter the outcome, because that's what's been sown all along. So you talked about, you know, things don't grow overnight, and they don't, but they appear sometimes. If you've been nourishing a plant, a bird of paradise, if you've been nourishing it, right, and you go out every day and you check on it and you talk to it and you water it and then you go on and the sun comes out and then you do it again each day, you stop thinking about when is this thing going to bloom, and then one day you walk outside and it just surprises you.
Exactly.
And so that is the beautiful thing about it, right? And that is what we rob ourselves out of with this very colonized idea of what success looks like. And for me, success looks like really enjoying what I'm doing.
Yes.
If I enjoy it and I enjoy who I'm doing it with, that is success for me. So we have, you know, we get different contracts from a lot of different entities in my company. And one of the young woman that was working with us was like, you know, but this was quite a bit of money, which to me, it wasn't quite a bit of money, but that's a whole other conversation. But I was like, if we don't enjoy doing this, I don't care how much money it is, it's going to feel like hell.
Right.
You know, there's no amount of money you can pay me that will make up for the fact that this is going to be hell for me, right? Like, I can't get that back in time and energy. And then being willing to let that go, but also being able to say sometimes when you, like, let's say everybody isn't going to want to do on the other side, right? And that's fine, because it's for who it's for. That's how everything is. Nothing is for everybody.
Right.
But here's the thing. You at least, if you're staying true to what you're doing, sometimes people who don't even know they need it show up. So it's being authentic to what on the other side is doing, as opposed to what we'll do is change our strategy to hit the numbers. But now we're changing from the thing that the people were actually needing, even if they didn't know they needed it yet, right? Because they just hadn't come to it yet. They just hadn't arrived yet, right? There's a Yifa verse that says, some people thought that they had, it says, twilight is just now breaking, but some people thought that they had already gone.
Right.
And so it's like what you talked about, O'Shea, with that 9 months, right? Because if you only get to 5 episodes and you're like, nobody cares, you thought the day was already done. But the person who kept going till 9 months knew that, that was just the twilight breaking. Right?
Everything you're saying, Anthea, it's just so, it has so much gravity because, you know, when people are not enjoying, or let's just deal with that, enjoy. You have to be enjoy something. So the joy is what, you know, triggers, you know, the energy of your life's purpose. And success can mean a lot to a lot of different people. But for me, success is simply, you know, the pursuit of a worthwhile goal, right? Just being in pursuit of a goal that's in alignment with your life's purpose. So when we come together and do on the other side, you know, it's in pursuit of a worthwhile goal. So it's already a success to me, and it's already been a success. And I just give thanks for just continuing in that energy. And I also want to add briefly that, you know, when you, again, see two men come together and just have unapologetic, real conversation about fatherhood, about, you know, relationships, about, no ego.
Mental health.
A friend of mine. Yes, no, none of that. A friend of mine says ego is like living in a house with no mirrors. You see everything but yourself. So Mark and I, we are living in a house with, on the other side has a room full of mirrors. We're in a room full of mirrors, and we're just, you know, reflections of each other and broadcasting it to the world.
It's like going to a carnival, a house of mirrors in here. We see ourselves in the reflection of ourselves. We see we're able to see others. You know, so it's been a journey for me, and it's been a journey that I have, it's been a growth journey for me, and I think that each episode, each guest that we have had on here, I have learned and I have grown by the things that they have said, and I hope that the listeners, you know, those who have rocked on this journey with us, that they have gotten the same sort of edification that I've gotten. So, there you go. So go ahead. Yes. What's your next deep question, Thea?
I'm the host. I'm ready. I got this. Here we go. Don't try to rush me. I'm going to enjoy
it. Here we go,
yo. I got more time. Here we go. Okay. So I don't know if I'm going to pull up, but I think this is relevant, right? Because there's an intention about preparing for on the other side. So you started a year ago, you know, mid-pandemic, right? And all this stuff going on. How close do you feel we are to the other side? I would say as a country or as a people, and what are our next steps?
Brother, why don't you jump in that one first?
I'll jump in. How close we are on the other side. So for me, again, when I think of on the other side, it's already prolepsis for me. And prolepsis, prolepsis, literally means it already happened. The calendar just has to catch up to it. So when I think of on the other side, all the triggers are already firing inside of me. So it's like I move through the universe and through the world on the other side, even if it's in my mind, if it's in my spirit, and wherever I'm at, I'm creating that environment. So in terms of the people, right, I envision a space to where, you know, the people are there also with me. And I think this is the reason why I could be out in the world and I'm just willing in positive, great energy all the time, right? And what is the balance to that? The balance to that is if you turn on the news, you see nothing but the negative. So when I'm saying how we are as a people, and are we on the other side, and how many steps are we closer to that, I would say that, Thea, we are there. Why? Because we are, number one, amongst the living. Number two, as Otis O'Solomon says, we're glad to be on the planet and not taking it for granted. And number three, we are being present. I feel that on the other side, the essence of it is being present. You being aware in your own life. You being aware and governing yourself so you can govern your beautiful household, and then you can continue to expand that governance.
That's beautiful, brother. I love that idea of already on the other side, and it's like that sort of a spiritual religious thing of providence. It's already happened, and we are now just rolling and folding into what is already happening. Yes. And I believe on the other side is given direction, it's given inspiration. And it's really just opening the door for people, right? To say, here, this is what it's look. This is what it can look. This is what your life can look like if you just embrace a certain way of thinking. And for me, what is that thinking? That thinking is thinking past just, you know, sort of the earthly sort of way that we see things. Just looking past the way that we've created realities for ourselves, right? The sort of mental realities that we've constructed for ourselves. Most people, they have like a mental structure that they put in place in their mind, and that's their reality. And most people get stuck there, and it's hard for them to see past that reality. And so I think on the other side is given space and opportunity for people to see, oh, if I just do this, or if I just think this way, then I can walk past the boundaries of the structure that I've created in my life, this mental structure that I have for myself. I can actually walk past those boundaries. So I feel if I look at the, you know, specifically to your question, if I look at, you know, just where we are when we started, you know, the podcast, I believe that there's been a lot of progress. I feel, you know, people have begun to really think about their health more. Right, their physical health, their mental health. I think all the time that people have had, you know, to sit in this sort of cocooning moment that we were sort of forced into, I think a lot of people took opportunity to really say, what am I doing with my life? I've been on this hamster wheel. I was going to a 9-to-5, and I was living someone else's dream. I was living someone else's reality. And I wasn't really doing anything for myself. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't really spending time with my family. I wasn't spending time with my dreams. And so I think that there's been a shift of thinking away from that. Not completely, right? Because the world has definitely not shifted completely to the other side. But I do think there's been a migration away from the very sort of just mundane, everyday, get up in the morning and just go to work and come home and watch TV and then go to sleep and not think about anything, any lofty thoughts. And I would like to think that our little podcast, our little Block Talk radio show on the other side has contributed to that. I believe it has.
I believe we've
helped people. Thank you, Thea. I believe we've helped people to, that journey, on the journey that they're on, right? On the journey that they have been, that they were forced with this invisible enemy, as governments have called it, the coronavirus and now the Delta variant. I believe it's not an enemy, actually. It has done things that has forced people to go within. And I believe that that is a shift that has occurred, and I believe that that is a bell that cannot be unrung. And I believe now it's a matter of will people continue on this path, especially when things become back to quote unquote normal. Will people then forget about the journey that they took during this time? That's the only thing I think about, right? I think once they cannot wear the mask, once people are not asking for vaccine cards anymore, will people still remember everything that they did while they were in that period? The things that really helped their lives, the food that they stopped eating, the little vegetable gardens that they start growing in their backyards, the friendships that they cultivated because they lost people and they realized the value of human connections. Will people forget about those things, or will they continue this journey
to really live a life of joy on the other side. And I'm an optimist. I really am. My wife can tell you, I am an eternal optimist. I go in and I look for the things that could be right about a situation.
Yeah.
Even when
people seem very not right.
I say, there's something about this dude that I just feel I should spend a little bit more time with.
So I feel that.
Go ahead, brother.
No. I just wanted to add on to what you were saying, Mark, with the On the Other Side journey, too, Thea. I've been feeling like, you know, Mark and I are able to, you know, generally, you know, people don't learn by what you say. They learn by what you do. So when you peel back the layers of Mark in my life, you know, we are we're living examples of what we are discussing on the other side. So they don't have to read through the words. They just can look at our lives. And I feel that that's a very powerful example of what on the other side looks like, because we are living examples of it. And you know, it's a beautiful thing, and it don't have to be and it don't have to be a beautiful struggle. You know what I'm saying? Cause the struggle ain't always beautiful.
It really don't. I remember telling myself, like, I just looking at the news and being like, okay, at this point we just completely making stuff up. So if that's going to be the joint, I'll make up stuff too. And it was so liberating to realize out there, they doing this, but over here, I'm doing this. And, it really made me actively and consistently choose my reality over anybody else's.
That's what On the Other Side is about.
That's
what
On the Other
Choosing
Side.
Choosing your reality.
And you can do it in the blink of an eye. When you realize that you are the creator of your own reality, they're just feeding your reality, but you choose to eat it or not, right? That's it. That's like when you're in the seat. That's when it don't matter what's happening in the world, in your little piece of the world. This is what we're doing. We chat that life over here, right? We plan over here. We're changing our lifestyle. We don't even know what's happening outside of here. Like, sometimes we have to remember, oh, wow, that happened? Okay. People will be like, did that happen? I don't remember that. Mark used to be like, yo, check the news at all. Do you? I said, I check my spirit every morning. Any news for me, spirit? If spirit say no, then that's what we good. We good on any MLK Boulevard, as Jay-Z and Beyonce would say. So, you know what I'm saying? Any MLK Boulevard. So when I look at the list of people that you've had on the show, I mean, this is another thing that people don't understand about podcasts is guests. Guests are such an essential part and challenging part of having a great podcast. And you all have had, from artists to reverends to, you know, music artists, to, you know, education abolitionists and advocates. I mean, you have the spectrum of guests on this show. It's like y'all was like, look, we're going to give you everything and everybody you need to get to this other side, right? And so some of my biggest moments on my podcast have been like, you forget that people are listening, and you, like, getting medicine for yourself, right? You're like, oh, my, that just did something for me, right? That just opened up a door for me. Do you have a moment like that for yourself, or a couple moments like that? You know, I won't limit you, but is there a moment that you were like, wow, that just shifted something in my thinking, or that just shifted something for me, or that just, you know, and those moments are so beautiful and organic that even the most enlightened of us can still find joy in, like, I didn't even think of that, right? And it's just this beautiful moment. Have there been moments like that for you where you just had one of your guests is kind of like, did a thing and changed the whole vibe, mid-show. Our present company excluded because that would be cheating.
That was gonna be my answer. Every time you appeared on the show,
and I'm like, every time Melanie appeared on the show,
yeah,
you know, right, you know what?
Melanie and I dropped
so,
bars on the daily,
right.
So it's okay.
Y'all always drop bombs, Thea, always. But, you know, it's been such a diverse group of special guests, Thea. It's like we can reach in and pull out the hat any day, any episode, and I felt like that, and that's the interesting part about it. I've always felt after the show is over, I have this energy, whereas I want to create. Oftentimes, I write an essay. Often I may write a poem. It's just a creative surge that goes through my body. And Mark and I always immediately call each other after the show, and we just exchange energy with each other. Like, man, that was fire. So it has
really
not
good.
Been one show that we have not done that with. And I'm just saying,
what a blessing. For
me, it's every time we go on the other side, I have this feeling.
I amplify that.
I think that each episode, you know, I think about episodes that we had, like Father Amdi, and he just gave, like, I said to him, I said, it's like just listening to a black encyclopedia, you know, of knowledge about music and fatherhood, and you know, Peter J. Harris, he dropped so much knowledge. And then Dana Mack, she came on and talked about raising daughters, and that there was so much connectivity there, because I'm a girl dad, right? And so is my brother. Listening to her talk about her relationship with her father and stepfather, just, you know, it's just been, you know, those episodes, they really resonate with me, and they really help me to just stop and just think about, okay, so, you know, this is, you know, in relationship to my own life and things that I thought about, but now I'm able to, because of the conversation, I'm able to think about more deeply. And so, you know, that I really look forward to, you know, the episodes, and we have our special guests. It really does. And then there's just, you know, and then there's episodes like, you know, we had an attorney on who talked about father's rights, and you know, that's something that, you know, that's something that I'm deeply concerned with, because of the journey that I went through to get my daughter back in my life, and to know that I'm putting out information to help other fathers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you mentioned a Reverend Shannon Jones, who's the, you know, the 11th president of the Concerned Black Clergy of Metropolitan Atlanta. He talked about voting rights. And that's something
that
I am deeply concerned about.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful episode because, you know, as we move through these different cycles of just the, you know, these electoral processes that we go through, and we look at how people are really trying to shrink the success of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, and for him to come in as a strong advocate to help protect those rights, you know, that just gave me inspiration. So I come out, you know, like O'Shea, I really do come out inspired by each show. I don't just come out and, oh, that was a good show.
He gets so excited.
You know,
he's like so charged after every show.
I get charged because it helps me, because, you know, we're sometimes in these bubbles that we live in, and, you know, if we get caught up in social media, they just bombard you with sometimes negative news. And so you really have to start, you know, sort of weeding out all of that madness. And for me, on the other side, has been an opportunity for me to weed through that madness and really see people that are really working towards making the world a better place.
Yes.
And I think each guest that we've had on has really tried in their own spaces to make the world a better place. And to know that they are individuals, but they are individuals connected to whatever collective that they're in, right? I may not see that. We see stars, you know, distant stars, you know, like in the galaxy, and we are in our galaxy, and we just don't know how many stars or how many planets are in those galaxies, right? We only see the memory of a star, right? So we don't really get to know how many people that these people are connecting and inspiring and what they're doing. So to know that, you know, and so experiencing their life and their journey, it's like fuel to my soul, to my mind. And so that's been the experience. But those are some of the names I mentioned. And there's more, of course, but those are you know, some of the names that really come out and really help me to really just be inspired. Stephanie Telez, you mentioned the educational advocate. She really helped to really
and
sort
Shango.
Of, you know, give, And Shango, of course, right, we talked about radicalized masculinity and the redefining masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I brought my brother Shango. I get a shout out to him. He's really, he just, you know,
Shango did a great job. Yes.
Shango did a wonderful job. And he right now is in New York. He is at the first time ever in New York City. They're introducing a curriculum to help black, help students understand true
it's
history.
It's an ethnic studies curriculum
history.
For K through 12.
It's an ethnic K through 12. So I got to give a shout out to my brother because he spearheaded that. And, you know, so that's the kind of, those are the kind of guests that we've had on. And so I, and I don't just have them on and then not follow what they're doing. And so I see that, wow, you know, there is hope in this world. There's hope on the other side. Shameless
it
plug.
Oh, shameless plug. More.
You see how I did that?
I was going to ask. Yeah, I did. I saw it. I was going to say, you know, how do you choose your guests? But you answered. You all choose guests who are in their way out here trying to make the world a better place. And I think that every time you choose a guest for those reasons, you undoubtedly will find people who are passionate and people who are knowledgeable and people who, like, really thrive off of sharing that knowledge and information, which is why your shows have been so rich with substance. I mean, just fertile soil for so many ears and so many minds. So what I'd love to do, it really has been. I mean, I'm just going to take a minute to just gush about it one more time because I think that particularly for black men, it can be really hard to feel supported in your efforts to do these beautiful things, right? Beautiful things for the world. And I mean, if we're not, you know, dribbling a ball or dropping 16 bars, you know, then black men aren't noticed as much for these types of contributions, these emotional, psychosocial contributions that impact the mental health of the communities that they're in and uplift conversations and uplift everyday heroes. And that is all that you have been doing for a year consistently, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just want to really, really from bottom of my heart say that I see you. I know Melanie sees you. I know all these guests see you. I know everybody who listens sees you. I know Dr. L, Dr. Lex sees y'all. Because Dr. Lex does a little comment every time. I mean, there's a lot of people who see and benefit from this every day. And so keeping your eyes on the other side is definitely something that I hope you all continue to do. And I'd like to end with your biggest wish for the next year of On the Other Side, that by the time I come back to host, or I may let Melanie do that one. That's only right. But by the time that comes around, what is your big wish for this podcast and for On the Other Side?
Well, I guess for me, my big wish, my big hope, my big intention for this podcast would be for it to continue to grow and outgrow itself. And we will continue to nourish it and continue to see it stretch beyond our imagination. And it makes me think of one of the things Khalil Gibran says about our children. And I think of this podcast as one of our children. Our children are going to a place that we cannot even imagine going. And that's my biggest hope and biggest intention for this podcast, that it'll go to that place where Mark and I can even imagine the possibility.
Mark, bring us home. 60 seconds.
You know, thank you. You know, that Khalil Gibran piece that you mentioned, it holds a special place in my heart. When I was going through my journey getting my child back in my life, I actually used that piece when I was speaking to the social worker, brother. So you bringing it up in reference to this is beautiful. My hope is the same. I hope that we, you know, I know we will continue to bring content that is meaningful, and my hope is that people will receive it with an open mind and an open heart, and it will continue to grow and help people to move on the other side.
Thank you all so much for trusting me today with this space and for a year's worth of love and service that will not be forgotten.
Thank you. And everyone, we thank you for rocking with us on this journey. And we hope that you continue to rock with us on the other side. And we will be back with some special things that we're going to do. So, but now I would say, as my brother always say, peace.